Oh, glory. John chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. That's how I say in Spanish, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I can't speak Spanish. So. John 10 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now that's pretty powerful. He said a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he labels a thief. A thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's exposing the kingdom of darkness. Does everybody got it? He said, but I have come that they may have what? Life. So the first thing he says before, he says, a thief and one who is called life. One who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and one who comes to give life. He's talking about another kingdom, isn't he? But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it what?
More
abundantly. More abundantly. So we're talking about two different kingdoms. We're talking about the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God, versus the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But the kingdom of light comes to bring life, and life what? More abundantly. Has everybody got it? It's very important because when you find things being stolen from you, it's because you're associating with the kingdom of darkness. Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. In Romans 14 and verse 14. And of course we know that the kingdom of light is what? The kingdom of God, right? Would you read this with me? I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now we know things are already unclean, right? He's not saying, it's what they already know what's clean and unclean. Does everybody understand that? Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, now they were arguing over food, because the Jews at that period of time, they still are under the circumstance of the Old Testament that said you can't eat this and you can't eat that, it's sin. But Jesus said you can eat anything, it's no longer sin. But of course, is everything good for you? Right? No. It says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in what?
Love.
Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. In other words, they were trying to do good, but they were beginning to condemn people because of the way they were still eating. So these are some Jews that were born again, that were still trying to condemn others or whatever, trying to convince others, listen, hey man, you still shouldn't eat this and you still shouldn't eat that and whatever, but the Lord said you can eat anything, didn't he? Does everybody understand that? So he said, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. In other words, they were doing good, but because of the circumstance with food, they were considering them to be evil now. They were actually pushing others away instead of drawing them to them. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, they were arguing over material things. They were arguing over the things of the natural. but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are the three things that the thief comes to steal. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Has everybody got it? Now the righteousness is a we know that there is the Trinity of God. The righteousness represents the righteousness of the Father. The peace represents the Prince of Peace, who's the Son. And the joy represents God's presence, which in His presence is fullness of what? Joy. Okay? So the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the things he wants to do is steal your peace. And I'm going to talk about true peace tonight. Okay? True peace. Praise God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Can we get a hallelujah in this place?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'll make sure everybody's still alive in the spirit and dead to the flesh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 23, somewhere around there. Let's see here. Chapter 5, verse... Yes. In verse 22, what does it say? Abstain from every evil, from every form of evil, right? He says, now may the God of what? He's known as the God of peace, isn't he? Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what's going to take peace to remain is the understanding of sanctification. In other words, you and I must learn to separate the kingdoms, right? And we've been talking about this. Because we know that the devil's come to steal our peace, our joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, hasn't he? Now, I want you to understand, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you or separate you so that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved. So, listen, we've got three areas here, don't we? Your spirit, your soul, and your body. You and I want peace in our spirit. We want peace in our soul, which is our mind and our emotions, and we want peace in our body. In other words, what happens in the spirit realm is going to manifest in the natural realm, isn't it? If there's not peace in your spirit, it's going to always affect your body, isn't there? If there's not peace in your soul, it's going to affect your body. Does everybody understand that? So what you're attached with or what you're associated with, there's going to be a manifestation somewhere along the line, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is everybody with me? Okay, now, we want spiritual peace. We want mental and emotional peace, and we want physical peace, don't we? Amen? Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this. Can you lower this? I'm getting a bad echo. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Psalm 119? Psalm 119. Does everybody know that we're chemically made? Amen? And we've been talking more about this. We are chemically made. Everything in you is chemically made, isn't there? I mean, there's chemicals or neurotransmitters. Your body produces chemicals as a reaction of everything that hits you in the spirit realm. Did you ever get afraid? Did you ever feel your adrenaline go up? And so forth, or I mean, you've heard of people picking up cars because somebody was stuck underneath them, supernatural strength, and all kinds of things have happened. So your body, we are chemically made, and that's why we want to have chemical balance. Now the world looks at certain things of just the physical attributes of what happens in someone's life as for, well, they're sick here, and they're always trying to fix the sickness, but never going to the root of why they're sick. Same thing with addiction. They're always trying to fix the addiction, but not knowing why somebody's addicted. And those are just fruits of certain things. Why people have anger and jealousy and all these other things. Those are parts of spiritual roots and things that are affecting people physically. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Psalm 119 and 165. So we want peace in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body, don't we? Well, one person does, praise God. Everybody else can pray for one another. Or cast the devils out, hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 165, would you read it with me? Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So we see in the Old Testament, they looked at peace as a obeying the law. Obedience was a representation of peace to them, wasn't it? You're going to find that a lot of things are more of a peacefulness in the outward position in the Old Testament compared to the inward position. Turn to Psalm 4. So how many of you all know that when you begin to become obedient, you begin to get peace? Amen. Hallelujah. We got an amen on a few of those. We're getting there. Help us, Lord. Psalm 4. Now let's start at verse 4. Looks good. Psalm 4, verse 4. Everybody there? It says what? Be angry and do not sin. Hello, there's a difference between angry and sinning and angry and not sinning. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Sometimes peace is a representation of security. Amen? It's a representation of security because if your trust is truly in the Lord, you're secure. Amen? You know, when people's trust is in everything else, they're not secure. And there's not peace. The opposite of peace is torment. And there can be levels of torment, can't there? There could be many levels of torment. Hallelujah. So we get peace also in security. In other words, a contentment. And there's even peace in prosperity. But we know we have peace when it's not our own self-prosperity. It's prosperity of the Lord that He's given us, right? Because every time someone prospers on their own, they never have peace of prosperity. You know why? Because they're always working to try to maintain it. Amen? That's not peace. That's torment. Man, you don't know how I worked for this. I can't let this go. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Glory to God. Glory. Glory. To God be the glory. True peace. If there's true peace, then there must be false peace, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Now, something had to happen. There was a sacrifice, wasn't there? There was a sacrifice. There was a sacrifice with me and you. Our sacrifice today is to deny yourself. That's our sacrifice. And then there's the fulfillment of that sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice of praise. Does everybody get it? There's the denying of self and the sacrifice of praise. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shan and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, for the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the lands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Another sense of peace is no war. No war. Sometimes we get peace without battle. Does everybody understand that? You know, so many times we battle so much that sometimes we battle with ourselves. And sometimes we have the Bible says that the battle belongs to who? The Lord. Amen? But you have to get in position so that the battle does belong to the Lord, so that you can have peace. Peace is also a representation of rest. You know, many people can't sleep at night. They got no peace. You know what they're worried about? Tomorrow. No peace. Or worried about the past. Or worried about what they should have done or didn't do or whatever. If you've ever gotten in an argument with someone or whatever, sometimes until it's settled, you don't have peace. You know, sometimes God is wanting you to make amends. Something's going on where you don't have peace, or if you did something wrong, you know you haven't gotten peace until you finally repented. Amen? And then that peace brings rest. You know, the word tells us also when the floods of the enemy come in, the praise, you start praising the Lord, you start praising the Lord, and all of a sudden His peace comes. So, you know why? Peace is a presence. Has everybody got it? Peace is God's presence. In fact, peace is known as the Holy Spirit. Ooh. So we've already come to a reality and understanding that sin is a presence, isn't it? We've talked about that before. So peace is a presence also. So when you have peace, you're walking in the presence of the Lord. And the kingdom of God is being manifested because you have God's righteousness is manifesting, His joy is manifesting, because you're walking in God's presence. But if you don't have peace, righteousness will not manifest and neither will joy. You'll be miserable. Hello? And you'll be doing the works of the flesh. Is everybody all right? Go to Isaiah 9. So coming out of the Old Testament into the New Covenant, coming from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, Isaiah prophesied about a peace that would come that would no longer be in an outward position, but would be in an inward position. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, would you read it with me? 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, chapter verses 6 and 7. Is everybody okay? Are we all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Praise God. Read it with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And of the increase of his government and what? Peace. There will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. What was he talking about? His peace. Hallelujah. Peace. Prophecy of the Prince of Peace that would bring inner peace into the new covenant. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. How many times have, when you were waiting for it, you were trying to make a decision and you didn't have peace? Or you made a decision and didn't have peace? Then you justify for it and the false peace comes. You know how you judge the true peace? By its fruit. Glory to God. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And he will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. God was bringing His peace. You know what He did? He forgave man. He brought reconciliation. Did you ever notice that when reconciliation comes, there's peace? Amen? God brought He brought peace to mankind to reconcile them. So He made peace with man. He forgave them, right? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're forgiven?
Amen.
Don't you have peace that you're forgiven now?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go to John 14. John 14 and verse 25. Glory to God. Is everybody there? "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper," that word helper is known as comforter. Comforter, but the comforter, the who? Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the comforter, isn't He? Amen. "Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you." Wait a minute. Peace I leave with you. Who's He leaving? The Holy Spirit. So we're talking about a presence. We're talking about a third person of the Trinity who's known as not only the comforter, but the peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be what? Afraid." So he's sharing, hey listen, you know what's going to hinder this peace is troubled, worry, and afraid. Fear. He shared with them already, look at, I'm giving you my peace. Not as the world gives peace, because the world's peace is false peace. But I'm sending you my peace, which is my presence. So don't be troubled, don't worry, and don't be afraid of the things of the world. Maintain my peace, and you'll maintain my presence. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. Fear steals your what? Your peace. No peace, no rest. Remember, we talked about God's peace, His presence. Now, we talked also about the spiritual arena having an effect on our physical arena and our emotional, our soulish arena, right? So if the devil can steal the peace of God, how does he can't just steal the peace of God, can he? He comes to steal the peace of God by affecting you or afflicting you, or either spiritually in the spirit realm as you begin to agree with the spirit, or a circumstance happens or a trauma happens in your life where you lose the peace of God because you've accepted the kingdom of darkness and rejected the kingdom of light and God's presence. Because he says he'll never forsake us nor leave us. Does everybody understand that? So when we lose that peace, your body, your physical body begins to release chemicals, neurotransmitters to try to bring peace, to try to bring balance to your body. The problem is if you're constantly in torment, now those chemicals in your body, those neurotransmitters, are beginning to eat your immune system. Does everybody understand that? You can only go so long. You cannot live in torment forever. It eats your immune system. Your body will start to decay. Does everybody understand this? Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to John 16. John 16. John 16 and verse 32. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has come. Yes, now has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So God was always trying to keep us in his peace. Listen, the devil knows that he can remove peace from you. He's beginning to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows that he can release, by what he affects you in the spirit realm, he can cause a physical release in your body of chemicals to begin to destroy you. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because now the kingdom of God is not being manifested. And people are beginning to look for false peace, aren't they? They run to the refrigerator. They look for a donut. You know? Mr. Goodbar or whatever it is, you know, and all the other stuff. They look for drugs. They look for other music. They look for, they're beginning to go for false peace, aren't they? Alcohol, I don't care what it is. Prescription drugs, NyQuil, I don't care what. They're seeking false peace because the devil has gotten to them spiritually to where the peace of God is lifted from them because they're not, they've accepted the kingdom of darkness and rejected the kingdom of light. Does everybody understand this? Good. He says, in me there is peace. Go to Psalm 34. So you're worried about a job? Well, you better don't agree with it. Repent, break it, loose it, and get out of it so you can have your peace back. In other words, so you can have God's presence back. Amen?
Amen.
Peace is a presence. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Sin is a presence. Fear is a presence. Glory to God. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Can we read this together?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So we're to seek peace and pursue it. Now, what do you think he's saying here about that can destroy the peace? What you speak? Hello? He's saying what? Depart from evil. Because if you're not going to depart from evil, you're going to associate with evil, and you're going to welcome the kingdom of darkness and reject the kingdom of light. He said, pursue peace, seek peace, and pursue it, no matter what. No matter what. Even the spirit of unity is a representation of the spirit of peace, isn't he? You're either thriving for unity or you're thriving for isolation, one or the other. And if you begin to start getting isolation, you're losing your peace, and you're going to eventually go for false peace, aren't you? False peace. Amen? Praise God. Now listen to this. Depart from evil. Peace is a presence. Evil is a presence. What you speak is what you reap. Everybody say it. What you speak is what you reap. Good. I'm glad you got that. James 3. James 3. What you speak is what you reap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 3 and verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now, I want you to understand the first thing he speaks of is bitterness. Bitterness. These things will remove the peace of God, won't they? Envy and self-seeking. And of course, we see the result here is lying against the truth. Where are you lying against the truth? In your mind. Amen. Verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. In other words, you're going to seek false peace. For where envy and self-seeking exist, what else? Confusion. God is not the God of confusion. If there is confusion, it means you're associating with the kingdom of darkness. And every evil thing are what? They're there. That's the kingdom of darkness, isn't it? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle, willing to what? Yield. That means submit. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now we see that when you begin to sow in righteousness, there's peace there. Why? Because the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So the kingdom of God is manifesting there because God's presence is there. Is joy a presence? Amen. Is righteousness a presence? Amen. Do you understand? We need to begin to look at these things as a presence. They are the presence of God. Either the presence of the kingdom of God is manifesting or the presence of darkness is manifesting. Hallelujah. Spirits that steal your peace. Oh, that's right. So is bitterness a spirit? Amen. Is envy a spirit?
Amen.
Jealousy a spirit? Hatred? Lying? Amen. Those are presents, aren't they? What are they there to do? Steal your peace. Steal God's presence from you. Matthew 5. Hallelujah. simple, short teaching tonight, possibly. All things are possible. We're trying to build up to an arena in these last many teachings of the understanding of separation. Amen. We're trying to bring to the arena that, making it so tangible and so real that these are evil spirits that are present. And you and I are either going to touch and agree with them and allow them to stay. And when we do, we must repent, right? So there's got to be such an understanding to this that it's so real to us so that we can walk upright and the kingdom of God can be manifested in us and through us. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Would you read that with me? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. Well, doesn't sons of God have God's presence? So, who wants to disqualify you as a son of God? Wasn't that the main purpose the devil was trying to do with Jesus? I mean, he worked it through Eve to get Adam to be disqualified as a son of God, didn't he? He tried to disqualify Jesus as being the son of God. And he's trying to disqualify us as being sons of God. But those who are led by the Spirit are called sons of God. Right? So we see here that peacemakers are known as sons of God. Evil disqualifies us as sons and daughters of God Almighty. That's what their purpose is. Evil presence will disqualify us. Is everybody with me? Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. You know, there are many sicknesses and diseases associated with these spiritual roots. Even addiction is associated with the spiritual root. The major spiritual root of addiction is a breach of love. Somewhere along the line, love has been breached in our life. Either inherited, somewhere along the line. That's why either abuse, a trauma, somewhere along the line, breach of love. Some of us have grown up without a father figure or a father that was there that never loved us, never really, or tried to buy us love. But addiction is a representation of a breach of love somewhere along the line. Some people, I mean, did you ever hear people turn into drugs and alcohol because they just got divorced? That was a breach of love, wasn't it? Never touched it in their life. So something happened. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, those who are in the Spirit. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So when you, what is he saying? He's separating the kingdom of darkness compared to the kingdom of light. He tells us the fruits of the Spirit of God's presence, and then he begins to tell us, be careful that you don't be conceited, that you don't provoke or envy. Those are all presence of darkness, aren't they? Amen? Go to John chapter 21. John 21, and verse 19. Did I say 19? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, to God be the glory. Let's read it. John 21 and verse 19, this he spoke signifying by, is everybody there?
Amen.
By what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Hello?
Yeah.
The one that loved was what? Following. Who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. See, you can't get caught up in everybody else's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about him? How come he gets it and I don't? How come I got it and he didn't? You can't be concerned about others. Do you understand? You can't start picking up everybody's burdens and justifying you with someone else. God is not justifying you with anyone else. It's between you and Him. The only reason why things are not happening correctly in people's lives is because there's been a breach somewhere. Something has been opened up of darkness somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, there's been a touch and agreement of some evil spirit that we don't even understand until it begins to manifest. And either we see it or everybody else sees it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 4. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Say that again. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't associate with anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. You know why? Anxiousness and anxiety relate to I want. I want. And when we can't have, we get frustrated. You know what we do? You know the reason why we say I want is because we're looking for false peace. Does anybody understand that? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. If everybody go to prayer, they wouldn't be coming to me. Hallelujah. They come to me for confirmation, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what? The peace of God. Now, if you don't have peace, you need to go to the office and find out why. Amen? Because if you can't find out why, somebody needs to tell you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, the peace of God, when you have the peace of God on you, you're not concerned about understanding everything. You're not concerned about this, that, whatever, how, when, and where, what's this, why is this person doing this, and I'm, you know what? Because you're not in God's presence. You've just been removed from it. And now the fiery darts are coming in every direction. The harpoon's on its way. And you need to spit out all the hooks, right? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see here, anxiety and stress bring torment. They remove peace. No peace, no rest. The body begins to fight it off by release of neurotransmitters to bring balance. A long period of this will cause damage. World The world has a false peace by material or materialism. Come on, when you and I were out in the world, we always thought that the more things we had, the better we felt. We didn't realize that the more things we had, the more torment we had, because we had to try and keep it all up or try and maintain it. You remember going to the pawn shop and giving out what you had, that you finally got convinced, okay, that's all. I don't need this, I need this. So you're trading one piece for another. And neither one got peace. Hello? The world gives us false peace by materialism, addictions, success, high intellect, power, alcoholism, and cigarettes bring a false peace. Food brings a false peace. Fame brings a false peace. Riches. But they're all dying. It doesn't matter. Right? We want the peace of God. The true peace of God. The true peace means His presence. Go to John 20. Hallelujah. You know, it's the one thing that you and I were looking for was peace, wasn't it? Sometimes we had to end up in jail just to get peace. It was the beginning of it anyway. Some people had to get in accidents and in the hospital to finally begin peace. It wasn't total peace, but it was the beginning of it. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now the disciples did not have too much peace, did they? They were afraid of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and what did He say? Peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And He said to them, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. Yow. Do you know that you have the power to forgive? That's why one of the open doors of demonic activity is unforgiveness, bitterness. Bitterness and unforgiveness relate, don't they? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We want true peace, not false peace. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. In verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished it in His flesh, the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. In other words, we still have our old man is our flesh, isn't it? But our new man is a new spirit birthed within us, right? Even though we're still walking in the natural realm, we are still spirits. But as long as you're walking in a spirit, the old man is under your feet. And you've got dominion over him. And you're walking in peace. But when he begins to perk up, because the lusts of the world and the desires of the world, you have torment. And that's not freedom, is it? It's not freedom. That's not peace. Because the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And He's also known as peace. So He is, Jesus is our peace. Where are we? Hallelujah. In verse 16, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through Him we both have access by what?
One
Spirit to the Father. There He talks about the Holy Spirit again. He is our peace. The Holy Spirit is peace. And peace is a presence. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. True peace, not false peace. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 12. Let's read it. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Father. I think it's chapter 2. No, it's chapter 1. I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. God be the glory. Let's read it together. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So He said, man, multiply. Double anointing. Multiply. Multiplied. May the grace and peace of God be multiplied in you. As His what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peace is a part of the divine nature. Do you understand that? If you're not walking in God's peace, you're not walking in the divine nature, the new man. So what maintains the divine nature? It's God's presence. Go to Proverbs 18. Oh, to God be the glory. Proverbs 18 and verse 20. I think it's Proverbs 18 verse 20. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18 and verse 20. Is everybody there? A man's stomach shall be what? Satisfied from the fruit of his, from his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will what?
Eat its fruit.
Eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor man uses what? Entreaties. But the rich answers roughly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who's that friend?
Jesus.
But he left his what? Amen. That's why he's known as the Comforter. He's known as the Comforter. His peace. Does everybody get it? You got to understand something. The devil wants to contaminate our spirit in offense, in bitterness, in fear, in envy, in jealousy, in rejection, criticism, and accusations, and stress, and anxiety, unlovingness, covetousness. He wants to hurt us with diseases and physical and mental, emotional problems, spiritual problems disqualifying the divine nature and producing false peace and addiction. You know, people can be addicted to anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. People can be addicted to going to work. That's how they find false peace. Some people can't. They come home and wash their car every single day. They get peace in that. You know what I'm saying? That there's a lot of false peace. Some people have to go shopping. They got to go spend money or money they don't have. That's false peace. That false peace means there's a presence of an evil spirit. That's where you and I must begin to separate these things. If you're touching and agreeing with these false, this false peace, you must repent for it and break it off and command that spirit to go. Now, we do have a responsibility, don't we?
Amen.
We have a responsibility to discern these things and to stay away from them. The Bible says, depart from evil. A false peace of worldly things. Go to Matthew 22. Hallelujah. Verse 37. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Do you understand what darkness is trying to do? Is bring a breach of love. Some of us still haven't forgiven ourselves. We're walking in unlovingness. Listen, if you can't receive the love of God, you can't give love.
Amen.
Some of us have a hard time with those things. Many believers are out there not accepting the love of God, not receiving the love of God, because there's been a breach somewhere along their life. What the devil wants to do is breach the love of God towards you, towards yourself, and towards others. He has access. When he does that, the peace of God is gone. Now you and I have the choice of accepting the lie or rejecting it, don't we?
Amen.
You know, temptation doesn't stop, you know. It doesn't stop. You're going to be tempted. The devil's going to try and get you to come in agreement with something so that there's a breach. Amen? Go to Romans. Oh, did we read that already? Yeah. Go to Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. So we're to love God, love ourselves, aren't we? If that's not manifesting, there's a breach somewhere, and there's an open door. Did you ever, you know, somebody in the world, did you ever notice that? Man, they're all happy when they make a bunch of sales, if they're a salesman. I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being happy. I mean, okay, praise God, you give glory to the Lord, whatever. But when somebody is thriving and getting fulfillment, in other words, when your prayer life begins to interfere with your work, I mean, when your prayer life, when things are beginning to interfere with your prayer life, in other words, your relationship with the Lord, everything else is fulfilling. So your prayer life is beginning to decrease and your workload is beginning to increase. Your desire now to work more instead of seek God, there's a breach beginning to manifest. Something's not right. But we must discern those things. Does everybody understand that? In other words, if your fulfillment is to work more than it is to relationship with the Lord, there's something not right. People are looking for fulfillment of the world then. We've gone back into the world when those things begin to manifest. That's why all of our labor should be laboring unto the Lord. Even when you and I are laboring out there, we're laboring unto the Lord. In other words, your thoughts should be, okay, I know that there's things I have to do because I'm responsible for, but how can I also use this finances to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name? How can I utilize to rescue someone else? Depending where your thoughts are at, it depends where you are in God's presence or not. In verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the what? Same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, and do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, hallelujah. John 17, we'll close with this. John 17. So is peace a presence?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, the devil likes to push. The Holy Spirit likes to lead. John 17:13. Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, but now I come to you, And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Learning separation, right? The truth is what sets you free. Now we got to remember the R's, right? Relationship, resist, recognize, take responsibility, repent, renounce, remove, and rejoice. Staying in the Spirit will give you the discernment. You'll know when that peace is gone. You know that there's another presence, because peace is a presence. True peace versus false peace. The world walks in false peace. A son of God must walk in true peace. When that true peace is gone, you know you're going to begin to associate with false peace. Take your authority. Do your 8 hours. Walk it out. And do it quickly. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you would quicken us to every area of our life where there is false peace. Any place where there is false peace, Lord, we ask that you will bring light in that area of darkness. And whatever spirit that we be associating with that would be bringing this false peace, that you would bring it to light, that we may repent, renounce, and remove it. That your true peace can have every dominion in every area of our life, so that we would be sons of God, lights and salt to this earth, bringing glory to your name and rescuing souls for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
and hallelujah.